This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez with the top business stories of the day. We're going to, of course, FGV, three little letters in the English alphabet that mean so much, so many, and because it's basically spread across all those front pages this morning. FGV, Felder Global Ventures, caught up in those debacles.
Well, FGV has just appointed Tan Sri Sulaiman Mahmud to replace Mohammad Issa as FGV chairman. Tan Sri Sulaiman Mahmud was formerly EPU. He's an independent non-executive director of FGV, chairman of Telecom Malaysia, and a former chairman of MIDA as well.
Now, I think essentially the question here is, now that we have got Tan Sri Mohammad Issa removed from the FGV picture and is now the acting chairman of SPAD, how about that, right? So how about that?
Yes, yeah, I think left a lot of people scratching their heads.
How about that? So I wonder how far this goes towards, alleviating the... rectifying the fundamental and the core problems at Felder Global Ventures, because I suspect that this is really just a politically expedient option, right? Because the Prime Minister recently has said that he wants this resolved by Hari Raya, and this being that very, very public spat between Tan Sri Mohammad Issa and also Dato' Zakaria, Dato' Zakaria being the CEO of Felder Global Ventures, FGV, right? So now that you've got Tan Sri Mohammad Issa removed from the FGV picture, now what does that do for FGV?
Also, coming back to what Brian mentioned earlier, something of the resume of the man who's taking over. We also have notes on this. He was chairman of Telecom Malaysia. He was corporate director at Bank Negara. He was at the Institute of Strategic International Studies. He was chairman of MIDA. All this is adding up to a portrait of a man with some core competencies. The question, of course, that a lot of others, Malaysians might be asking is, with Tan Sri Issa Samad, is what was his record at FGV and what is he going to bring to SPAD? And what is it that, what exactly is going on there? That's a question that perhaps no one in this country can answer at this point in time.
Well, I wouldn't say no one, except
those people who actually
made a decision
to move him.
Right, again, to be fair, he's acting chairman at SPAD. We don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing. Tan Sri Sulaiman, whether this will be a permanent thing that he will helm FGV. But nevertheless, I think my question is also relates to Dato' Zakaria. Where does that leave him? Because he was asked to be on a leave of absence. Him and three other top executives at FGV. Now we understand from the Prime Minister's office. According to a statement from them, that apparently there are enough facts or sufficient facts and reasonable grounds for the FGV board to initiate disciplinary proceedings.
Against whom?
Against Dato' Zakaria, right?
Now, that could be as simple as him not following proper procedures. Now, from what we understand from the Dilima case, this is a client that was been a Felder client for 20 years. Unfortunately, proper procedures were not followed in terms of the appropriate letters of credit. Now, in normal business transactions, if your long-time customer is in trouble or needs assistance in the short run, often an entrepreneur or CEO of a business will give that long-term customer a leeway. So I think we've got to think about, some of those aspects before we jump to any sort of conclusions about Zakaria.
Well, sure. But then you also talk about, say, PwC. They use the term accounting irregularities. That phrase was sprinkled all over the initial media reports. Certainly, I think it remains to be seen. But then when you look at, say, I think what we can all agree on is that there is a deficiency in terms of the corporate governance levels at FGV and also, obviously, their business performance.
But all this seems to suggest that Tan Sri Issa Samad is vindicated in his actions against Zakaria Arshad, in which case, why is he stepping down? I mean, it doesn't. I don't quite follow the logic of it. Because if there's a case against Zakaria Arshad, however minor, you know, Brian, as you kind of want to put it, then why should he step down?
Right. You know, well, or step to the side. Right,
to the side. But at least step away from FGV.
I mean, right. Yeah. You know, but so again, it goes back to my point here, you know, because, you know, whether you like it or not, I mean, granted, FGV is a listed company, but there are so many, there is such a, you know, intense political stake, you know, when it comes to the fortunes of FGV, right? So it's very hard to just draw this very distinct line and saying, okay, yes, this is a private company and that's it. You know, it ends there. No, because you've got the fortunes of, you know, over 112,000 Felda Slettlers, you know, whose fortunes are very much reliant on what happens at FGV and also Felda. And then you extend that further, of course, Felda Slettlers being a massive voting bloc for the ruling government. So, you know, they have to tread lightly. You know, so again, my suspicion, and I'm speculating here, is that this is a very, you know, politically convenient move.
You remember the early days of this storm in the teacup, right? Some might call it Anna, which of course represents Felda Slettlers, came out and called for Issa Samad to step down. He then said he would not resign. Mm-hmm. What we do have now is, if you want to understand the mind of the man or the mind of the men who made this decision, the Prime Minister has come out to say that Issa Samad voluntarily relinquished his post. Now, is that because they were trying to dial down on the political heat coming out of this, or, you know, or was it, and this would be a problem for Issa Samad, an admission that he was wrong? And that might be even more troubling for him going forward, that the resignation would be read in that fashion.
Well, what we do know is that we've got the hierarchy at FGV who certainly welcome Tan Sri Sulaiman's appointment. You've got Dato' Zakaria, who has said, you know, he welcomes, you know, his presence at the FGV helm. You know, I believe Tan Sri Shahrir likewise, you know, welcoming this development here. But yeah, you know, the question is, you know, what happens to Muhammad Issa, you know, moving forward? What happens to Dato' Zakaria moving forward? I think fundamentally and more importantly, what happens to FGV moving forward?
And Dato' Zakaria, interestingly enough, has engaged UMNO lawyer Tan Sri Muhammad Shafi to challenge the internal investigation. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole scenario plays out, particularly in the light of the fact that accusations were thrown out by Dato' Zakaria that he, one of the reasons why these actions were taken against him was because he vetoed several acquisitions, including a 55% stake in China's Nutri Oil Holdings, the Eagle High acquisition, as well as other acquisitions that were proposed, including a nanotechnology acquisition for £100 million.
Sharad, I wonder if this will be our new story that just keeps on giving, though.
Oh, easy. So it joins the ranks of 1MDV as a new story that keeps giving.
Not, yeah.
Well, perhaps. But we'll come back, I guess, to the story over and over again, this week at least, and about assessment of those, you know, those investments, as you put it, Brian, that Zakaria took exception to. Though, you know, I think that with the Eagle High Plantation, that seemed to be on both sides, there seemed to be, you know, a rational for making that purchase.
Now, to be very clear, though, that Eagle High Plantations deal, that is apparently a government-led deal, and it's now parked under Felda, because apparently Felda is the palm oil expert, because you've got the FGV shareholders who have rejected that deal. And I believe Tan Sri Shahrir made comment of that during his breakfast grill with us a few months back. So you can check out the podcast, you know, on our website, bfm.my, and take a listen to it, you know, during your four-day weekend over Raya.
Yeah, just a quote. Clarify, Felda is separate from FGV. Felda has about 34% stake in FGV. Okay, moving on to other exciting stories. Eels, swordfish, corn, frozen vegetables, margarine. The Royal Malaysian Customs Department has reversed its plans to impose GST on these types of food.
I thought you were just reading off like your breakfast list or something.
I eat eel or swordfish. I didn't know you could eat swordfish. That's pretty animals.
Well, see, there we go. So that's interesting, right? Because now this story happened yesterday whereby Customs initially had this plan to impose GST on some 60 edible items. Previously, they were on this zero-rated list, right? Long story short, they made a U-turn. So now those items, which I will now call Sharad's breakfast, will now remain as zero-rated items. Yeah. So initially, the timeline was, I think, July 1st when the GST should have kicked in on those items. Yeah.
Okay. We have Second Finance Minister Dato' Sri Johari Abdul Ghani explaining to BFM why these plans were cancelled.
No, MOF, kita buat keputusan, mana kita cancel? Because benda ni dibuat at the working level, di peringkat kasta. Jadi mungkin dia nampak produk-produk ni, dia tidak, dia kecil, dia punya contribution. Tapi dia ingat untuk memudahkan dari segi pengutipan hasil, jadi standardized. Jadi ada separuh, ada yang kena, separuh tak kena. Jadi yang tak kena ni sikit, jadi dia standardized. Saya cakap tak boleh. Pasal benda-benda yang melibatkan penggunaan awam, kalau kita nak meningkat ni, kita kena bawa kepada pengetahuan MOF, kemudian kita akan bawa kepada Kabinet untuk kelulusan.
That was Second Finance Minister Dato' Sri Johari Abdul Ghani telling BFM why these plans were cancelled.
Now, one of the key things here is, of course, we've got to look at it also within the political context. These are zero, the whole hot potato of GST fails to go away. And really, if you look at it, GST and this revenue raise, it's part of the overall government's action of really trying to raise revenue from whether it's IRD or customs. Now, last year, GST contributed 42 billion ringgit to the coffers. Now, that's only the tip of the iceberg. As we have higher compliance, that's only going to go higher. So one of the key things that we need to think about is also the fact that Malaysia, in reality, has one of the lowest GST rates in the world. So if you look at people like Singapore, which is the next lowest, it's about 7%. Australia is 10%. But the new Indian GST, for example, which is going to kick off on July the 1st, there are some zero-rated items, but there are also items that are taxed at 28%. So that's overall... I think there's a trend globally towards goods and services taxes.
Okay, we're going to have to put, you know, as always, put Malaysia in comparative perspective to get a good sense of what's going on. We're coming up to the news shortly, and after that, of course, we'll have the opening numbers on the stock market and more business analysis here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.